an important but short update here on natural medicine versus the coronavirus. First of all, just a quick disclaimer, nothing is yet proven to prevent or treat the coronavirus. Nothing. Not a vaccine, not a drug, not an herb, not a molecule, not a vitamin, not colloidal silver, not chlorine dioxide. There's nothing. Nothing on the planet has been proven yet because it's still too early. But are there things that are good candidates for it? Are there things that have been tested against SARS, which is also a type of coronavirus? And the answer to that is yes, absolutely. Are there good candidate antiviral pharmaceuticals? Yeah, absolutely. They exist as well. Are there good antiviral foods and herbs and supplements and superfoods that are known to have antiviral effects against other viral strains? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. So I'm going to mention some of these things right here, but just want you to understand these are candidates for COVID-19 coronavirus, but not proven against it at this time. One thing, though, a bit of disinformation out there. There have been people who are warning, like, don't take elderberry because elderberry boosts immunity. And this virus might kill you by having a too strong of an immune response, you know, the so-called cytokine storm. Well, that is faulty thinking by people who don't understand pharmacology from a botany point of view. In fact, many of these herbs, they interfere with the cellular replication capabilities of the virus itself. The virus relies on a number of physiological processes in order to be able to replicate. And many of these herbs contain certain substances that interfere with viral replication. It's nothing about a cytokine storm. It's nothing about an over-heightened immune response. The mechanisms are varied. Different herbs work in different ways. I was looking at a study just yesterday that talked about spirulina, and in particular, the phycocyanins in spirulina, which are they're some of the molecules that give spirulina its very distinctive color, which is a mixture of blue and green. I've actually separated phycocyanin in the laboratory using a centrifuge and some solvents, and I was able to separate the blue from the green, which is kind of cool. The blue is the really potent antiviral type of molecular group, in the sense that it has been studied against things like influenza, even though I know that's totally different from coronavirus. But there's a lot of studies out there about phycocyanin and what it might be able to do in this context. So we know that the mechanisms are not just, oh, making your immune system respond more aggressively. That's not it at all. And it would be great if people commenting on this would have knowledge in the areas of botanical medicine. And they would see that, natural medicine provides a vast array of molecules that function in many different vectors to inhibit viral replication in the body and also to inhibit viruses from even attaching to receptor sites in the body and many other mechanisms. You know, a virus has to invade your cells and then sort of take over your cell's replication factory in order for the virus to replicate itself. Well, there are mechanisms by which that happens. And there are many, many herbs and substances that block all the different stages in those mechanisms involving proteins and RNA replication and, you know, glycoprotein outer shells and so many different things. It's actually a very complex process for a virus to invade your body and succeed at replicating. So there are many steps in that process that are opportunities to inhibit that process. And that's good news for all of us. Now, in terms of what I'm seeing so far in my research that presents some possible candidates that may one day be proven possibly against this COVID-19, or they may never be proven, or they may end up being failures. But what is looking strong in terms of candidates right now is high-dose vitamin C, spirulina, as I mentioned, with the phycocyanins, also licorice root, which contains a molecule called glycyrrhizin, and that has very potent hepatoprotective properties, which means liver protection. Glycyrrhizin, I've been recommending licorice root for many years to protect people against the liver toxicity effects of acetaminophen, which is an over-the-counter painkiller, also known as Tylenol, and also to protect your liver from alcohol damage from overconsumption of alcohol. So licorice root is something that probably you should be taking anyway. because we live in such a toxic world. And glycyrrhizin protects your liver from all these other chemicals. And it protects you from alcohol and painkillers. But could it also have an antiviral effect against coronavirus? Perhaps. Yeah, that's definitely a candidate that should be looked at. Some other things that are coming up are selenium, which really helps power, you know, selenium is a mineral. It helps power the body's detoxification process. And so is this a good time to consider uptaking or increasing your uptake of selenium? Yes, perhaps. There's certainly no downside to it. And if you do the research on selenium, you'll find there are many, many other health benefits, preventative processes that are enhanced by selenium. But as with any mineral, there's also a window of efficacy and safety. So some minerals are called macrominerals, like calcium and magnesium, for example, where you can have huge intake without hitting a level of toxicity. And most people are deficient in magnesium. But I think many people get too much calcium, by the way. That's just another little thought on a tangent there. But other minerals, such as zinc and selenium and iodine and so on, they have a much more narrow window of efficacy and safety. Can you overdose on selenium? Absolutely. You can be poisoned by it if you eat too much. You can be poisoned by zinc. You can have iodine poisoning, potentially, if you take way too much iodine. All of these minerals, because they cannot be destroyed by the body, they can't be, you know, converted into anything else. Minerals are minerals. They're elements. You have to watch your intake and understand what is efficacious and what is safe. And so that's why I always recommend that you check with a qualified naturopath. And not a bad idea to get your blood level tested too, so you know what's circulating in your blood based on what you're eating right now. How much magnesium do you have? And what's your level of vitamin D? You know, getting to vitamins, not just minerals, but vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin. And by the way, there's been a lot of good research on vitamin D in terms of boosting immunity against influenza and things like that. And vitamin D also has a window of safety. You can overdose on vitamin D. It can be toxic if you take too much because it's fat soluble. It goes to all your nerve cells and brain cells, but most people are deficient in it. So again, it's about hitting the right amount of intake, which for me personally right now, I'm taking in anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 IUs a day of vitamin D. I'll reduce that slightly in the summer when I'm getting more sunlight. But during the winter months, and we're kind of coming out of the winter, I'll take easily 5 to 10,000 IUs of vitamin D a day. Most people get zero. So they're wildly deficient in vitamin D. And if you're deficient in vitamin D, you can have major respiratory infections such as tuberculosis, by the way. So you talk about protecting your respiratory system. Nutrition has a crucial role to play in this. And it's mind-boggling to me that we don't have a Surgeon General or the CDC or the FDA or even the president out there saying, hey, everybody, you might want to take some vitamin D. You might want to boost up your intake of antivirals. And we're not hearing that from anybody in any position of leadership in the government, which I think is criminal negligence, given that this pandemic might kill so many people. We know that certain substances have a long track record of enhancing the body's natural ability to protect itself against other pathogens. So what's the harm in recommending something that's super low cost and super available and is very safe for people to take and, in fact, is deficient in most people? That's what should be done right now, in my opinion. But keep checking my website, pandemic.news. This is Mike Adams here. You can learn a lot at pandemic.news. So thank you for listening. Stay informed, and you may just be able to stay alive. Share this podcast everywhere, and thank you for listening.